This is Mary Blay. Okay. Welcome to Journals of a Healer, Unleash Your Hidden Genius. As you know, this show is dedicated to rediscovering what you came here to do and the genius that you probably are not enjoying in your life at this moment. And today, we are welcoming calls from readers and visitors who have questions about Journals of a Healer, which is the subtitle is A Personal Account of Adventures Beyond Time, Space, and So-Called Reality. And many people have asked about karma and what past lives and regression and multi-life therapy. So I am welcoming anyone who would like to come on and ask questions. Do we have any questions here? Hello?
Hello? Hello, Mary?
Hello. Yes.
Hi. I have a question for you.
Okay.
And I'm curious to know if hypnosis, when people are put, you know, under hypnosis, is that the same thing you do, or what you do is different?
I'm so glad you asked that question. By the way, what's your name? Where are you from?
Oh, my name is Candy, and I'm from California.
Oh, fantastic. Well, Candy, you just gave me a chance to talk about how different the work that we do is. And what we do is literally, instead of hypnosis, we go into a state of altered consciousness. And it's often called trance, which is a lot of people are confused about trance because they think it's something woo-woo and crazy, and it's something that you just don't do on a regular basis. But the fact is that any time you are totally wrapped up in something and you almost forget where you are, you are in a state of altered consciousness. And this can be easily called a trance. So there are a lot of times people will say, well, I was driving, I swear I don't know how I got home. One minute I was at the office, and the next minute I was pulling into my driveway. Well, what they were doing was they were in a state of altered consciousness, and they were driving just automatically, and their thoughts and their mind and their feelings were somewhere else. So when we go and when we are working with the multi-life therapy, we use relaxation techniques and guided imagery to help the person go into a state of altered consciousness. And from that state of altered consciousness, they can actually just sort of float into another lifetime and another incarnation. And we have wonderful conversations with your other incarnations. Does that help to answer your questions, or did you still have more questions?
Well, now, is past life transgression, is that the same as what you do?
No, not at all. When you talk about the past, you can't do anything about it. You know, it's like it's over and it's done with. Does that make any sense?
That makes sense. Yes.
Okay. Well, with hypnotic regression, past life regression, the hypnotist literally hypnotizes you, and you sort of have to give control to that hypnotist. When you are in altered state of consciousness, you don't give your control to anybody. You are totally still yourself, and you're completely in control of your life. Does that make sense now?
Oh, yes, and I wasn't aware that we could be in a trance like that and be still in control of our souls.
Absolutely.
As opposed to being hypnotized.
But once I used to study voice with a very famous opera singer, and she told me once she was so ecstatic in the aria she was singing that all of a sudden she found herself up in the wings, in the audience, in the top tier of the audience, watching herself on stage singing. And
wow.
She was singing away like crazy, but she sort of went, because it was so intense and so deep, she went into a trance, and there she was floating out there listening to herself. Isn't that fascinating?
Very fascinating, yes.
Yeah. So if you think about it, many times you will have been, unaware of where you were. Somebody will say something to you, will say, "Oh, excuse me, I don't know where I was. I must have been daydreaming." You know.
Mm. And I've had that happen.
Sure. So you literally didn't know you were in a trance.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
So, yeah. So also, when you literally give over your power to a hypnotist, what happens is he has ideas, he has an agenda, he has prejudices, and he has big dreams about what might happen and all kinds of things like that. And so you get his, as we say in New York, we get his mishigas, his craziness on top of yours, his expectations and his ideas of what is going to happen. So when we work on a pure stream of consciousness, we literally go into another now. Say, it would be sort of like if you could just snap your fingers in that second, you could be from New York to South Africa, just boom.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be different language, different time of year, different costumes, different customs, different everything. It would be like a whole new now. And it'd be totally different from one second to the other. So when we go through this guided imagery, and we contact the whole, what I think of as the whole self. And if you imagine everything your soul has learned in all the incarnations that you've ever lived, everything, all the things, all the fears, all the beautiful things, all of the great accomplishments, all the wisdom that you picked up in the way, and kind of think of that like an ocean. And your incarnation that you are right now as Candy, think of it as a wave. It comes up onto the shore.
Okay.
Now, what does that wave do? It stirs things up. It makes things happen. You can see bubbles and moving and everything and waves. And it picks up things, and it literally takes them back into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So when you can't imagine a whole giant soul getting into one tiny body. So think of one wave out of the ocean of you coming into this body and experiencing things just like that wave does on the shore. And then when it's time for you to leave this body, you are, I think of it as being reborn into your spirit body, into the spirit being that's the whole you. So we contact this this whole self and ask it to choose a destination, some other place, another time, another aspect of your whole self that's experiencing, that's going through something that is bothering you today, that's keeping you maybe from as happy and successful and loving as free as you can actually be. So, does that begin to make sense?
Yes, it does. It's a whole different way of that, of the way I previously thought. So,
and the interesting thing for me and for the person who is going through this is that you never know where you're going to go, because you leave that decision to the wiser part of you, the whole self, the one who really knows what's going on and why.
Okay, I appreciate you taking the time and answering my questions, Mary. Thank you so much.
Well, you're absolutely welcome. I hope that makes good sense to you. And I hope that you begin to understand. And when you go back to read the book now, you will understand that you're simply going into it, that the person is simply going into another now, and that's why we can have conversations back and forth, and that particular incarnation. Is they are just as alive and as aware. And see, this all happens on a consciousness level.
Okay.
So because the consciousness is the most important thing of all. See, one of the spirit guides that I work with, Stardust, always says that nothing that ever happened to anybody, any time, any place, is important. The only thing that is important is how that event affects the consciousness. So when we go through and have another experience, then that changes the consciousness. And the consciousness grows with our awareness and with what we learn and what we're taught in between. So now, I hope you understand a little bit.
Yes, yes, you gave me a better understanding.
Okay.
How our mind.
We had another caller coming in.
Okay.
And, but let me see if I can get them on the line.
Okay, thank you, Mary.
Sure thing. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Who am I speaking with?
This is Helen.
Oh no, Helen. Okay. Did you have a question?
I did. I'm in a really busy place in my life, and so I've only been introduced to your book, and it's like one of the pile of books that I find interesting from many, many angles. First of all, I'm a nurse, and so we have some form of, we're involved in some level of healing and doing for other people to end up so that they have a good outcome. But the other thing is I'm a Christian, and I always wondered if Jesus could heal. And people believe, and now we have all these resources and knowledge. How come we are not the healers that Jesus was? And then I have run into some people in the world that are called Sukhamahakaris, and they say that they heal by channeling light. And so when I saw your book, and I always have this thing about the time, and my dad used to say, there's no time like the present, or fly into action, you know, we don't have any time to lose. And then I talk about the gift of time. We can learn from the past, we can plan for the future, but the only place we can make a difference is in the present, in the gift of time right now. And because I've been involved with the Wesleyan Church, John Wesley was always, do all the good you can, whenever you can, however you can, as often as you can. It's like, wow, if everybody just did that, we would have a really amazing, kind world just in time.
Mm-hmm.
So now I there are so many people around the world that talk about the transformation of the world. And it seems like it's coming from not, you know, the Methodists talk about the transformation of the world and making disciples for Christ. Yet, and even though I'm in, you know, one foot in that church, I sometimes feel so judged. I feel like they slam the doors on discussions that don't go their way, or they seem to be people that are paid to do their job and they don't want to have these conversations with people that aren't paid but are still in the trenches working. So I just have all these questions circulating in my head. And since my father was a physicist and your Albert Einstein, you know, kind of bridges medicine and physics, it's like, as your mind travels near the speed of light, its space will shrink, but its time will expand towards eternity, and its mass will approach infinity. Well, I wear a Trifinity ring, and this so resonates with me that it's like, how do we snap our fingers and get the world to be on the track of love and peace that I feel that Jesus was trying to teach us to be Alpha and Omega, you know, that it's a continuous
I hear you. I hear you. Absolutely. I understand what you're saying. And the whole thing is this. It is that we cannot force other people to be as open and understanding as we are. But unfortunately, what we have to do is to help them to understand. If we can help them to open their mind in any way, it would be good. I'm sorry that you've run into, I call them technocrats, actually, the people that look down upon the people that are seriously and interested. That it really disturbs me a lot, you know. So I'm just wondering. I guess the only thing that we can do is to give other people a chance to open their minds and think and think in a different way. For heaven's sakes, and Jesus said, all this that I do, so can ye, and even more. So what is the problem? Who ever said that miracles stopped happening with the last page of the Bible?
Well, I have to say that miracles do seem to happen in my life, and it's just so humorous that these things sometimes unfold that there was, like, no way I could have planned such an event had I, you know, done all this searching on the Internet and line up. Because
sure.
I couldn't have aligned all these appointments, and I actually experienced people praying for me and had a Christmas miracle be able to get home from Malaysia to Kansas on Christmas Eve in the same day. It was
phenomenal.
Just uncanny. It was a real you know,
but just imagine.
Time, it was really funny because I felt like I was actually experiencing Santa Claus route. And so it was just humorous. And so it's just like these humorous things do happen to me, but then people think that I must be mentally ill, you know, to even be talking about these things.
Well, if they think that, they must think that Jesus had all the apostles were mentally ill too.
Oh, yes, because they had grandiosity, no doubt. No. They believed all things were possible. That's pretty grandiose.
Well,
so, anyway.
I think that Jesus gave us permission.
And it says ashes to ashes, dust to dust, you know, and
So well, that's the body. For heaven's sakes, we know that the human spirit is immortal. The human spirit comes into the body and then it leaves. So it's only the body that is mortal. The human spirit is immortal.
Uh-huh. And as a nurse and as I've watched people, you know, give up the ghost, as my dad used to say.
You see them leave.
Yes, I do, actually. I've seen, actually, it seems like, you know, a something happens off the top of their head. Uncanny, and of course, I wouldn't be able to share that with very many people, but the people that are listening to your radio show probably can tolerate it.
Okay. Yeah, but I do understand that, and I think this is totally fascinating, and I really appreciate your input.
May I ask one more question?
Of course you can.
Oh, well, I didn't know.
Sure.
People that want to talk. So as I page through the stories and stuff, and you talked somewhat to the previous caller about how does this differ from hypnosis and all of that. Well, Christian people are very judgmental about being put in that space of being hypnotized, you know, that you're an open vessel for evil to come into. What is your take on what you do as an intuitive healer in these sessions with people?
Well, first of all, what do you think Catholics are doing when they say the rosary over and over and over?
Yeah, any kind of mantra puts us in an altered state of consciousness, you know.
Exactly.
Prayer.
Exactly.
Meditation.
And why wouldn't that altered state of consciousness be closer to God instead of closer to something that they imagine as evil?
Which is quite interesting because that's built into our sleep cycles and our dream cycles, where we often find answers to the things we have prayed about. We find guidance.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Yes, and really, there is wisdom that is available to us that we ignore. I mean, how many times have you known something and it's, oh, that's ridiculous. How could that possibly be? And then later kick to yourself and say, I knew it. I knew I shouldn't have done that. I knew I shouldn't have gone there. I knew this person was not good for me, and yet I talked myself out of it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
How many times has that happened to you?
Because God does give us free will, and there's that humanness that I would love to transcend, but still seems to be a noose around my neck.
Absolutely.
On my neck.
Yeah, there you go. Yes, the conscious mind basically is the enemy. That's the part of us that talks us out of our really, really good new information. All of the great stuff.
That I've come to have, you know, life abundant, that you would have life abundance and that my joy may be complete in you. And when you pray that you should believe it has been given to you. But I think it's almost beyond our human capacity to truly believe and trust, you know.
Isn't that funny? Yes.
It's a real developmental stretch to be able to also suspend judgment, because I noticed as I say the Lord's Prayer and as I was disgruntled about how Christians were reacting to me when I thought I had really the best interest of everybody at heart. And yet
sure.
I have these doors closing or these negative reactions or suspicion that my motives are different. I was like,
uh-huh.
then I realized I was judging them for judging me. So it's like a huge
there you go. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that you think about this? Yeah. It's strange that is true. That it's what that's what you've done. Mhm.
Yeah.
So you have literally turned you've changed things. You have really changed things, and you've taken what you really, really is available to you, and you have simply turned it into a dead nothing. I mean, really, this is so strange.
It's kind of like where is thou sting? If you submit to our worst thing that could happen, maybe, then surrender and let God
absolutely
really grow us. But it's like,
mm-hmm.
I guess maybe it's like the birth process. It's a struggle to really, truly trust and obey and release.
Yeah,
to really believe that we could really be creatures of love and really,
mm-hmm.
live in harmony
mm-hmm.
and transform the world.
And what do we do usually when a child comes in, a baby is born? The doctor spanks it. First thing they experience is...
Actually, as a nurse, they have quit doing that. I have not seen
that
baby.
Oh, that's good.
Spanked. Yes, no.
Well, that's good.
Yes, the birth process causes them to come on their own.
Uh-huh.
And that would be a case of a stimulation, and they do like a little sternal rub. So, I've not seen newborns spanked. And the interesting thing
that's
is I have seen little baby smile, and I tell the mothers, I said, now I've heard that that a baby has gas when you see a baby smile. I said, but you know what? I think that actually the baby's seeing the face of God because they are truly spiritual people without sin. It's like,
Yes.
And here's my final little thing. I've been connecting the dots with what is said in the Bible and how knowledge is growing since I've been born. And I took a health education class, and I think the very first time they said knowledge doubled in the world was maybe 1954, and then it's like all exponential since then. And now with Apple and now with apps, the high-speed internet, it's really doubling very, very fast now.
It's getting to the point that it's going to be doubling in hours, I'm telling you. Seriously.
Exactly, until we get to critical mass, and then boom, maybe that's the second coming when love finally blooms and releases us all from the baloney.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I know. I've learned, I'm 86, and I have learned things in the last month that I didn't even know existed,
Wow.
It's wonderful with the computer and with everything, all of the things that are available to us now, and the way we can reach out and touch each other, and oh my goodness, it's all so different. Mm-hmm.
It's like very, very green travel, but then there's the realities of Jesus said, let Caesar, what is owed to Caesar be Caesar, so we all have like real living expenses. But I do have now, I've been praying to God to guide my steps all these 5 years and with this new vision that I have that connects people in kinder, gentler ways. And then I pray, show me my tribe, God, because the local people and even my own family think I'm just crazy. They just think I'm nuts. So,
Won't they be surprised when they leave their bodies and find out that you were right.
Oh, no. For the second coming, was like, surprise! Yeah, everybody gets to be surprised.
That's right.
That would
That's
be
right.
Fun,
even so. Usually the people who think they know the most know the least.
Well, it does say that in the Bible as well, that God has chosen the foolish to compound the wise.
Yes.
And the powerful, you know. So I guess those gangsters that think it's all about money and keeping certain people in and certain people out are going to be surprised. It'll be fun. So, well, thank you so much for your openness and for being a person that I felt safe to dialogue with this about, that I don't feel the least bit judged to bring up these questions. And I appreciate it.
So. Well, if you have been through, once you continue to read the book, you will see the crazy things that happened to me, and I was just completely floored. I mean, I was shattered. I was terrified when it happened.
How old were you when those things happened to you?
About 50, 51,
oh.
something like
oh,
that.
Okay.
And since then, in the years since then, I have come to believe that 50 is literally in and around that at time is a spiritual rebirth for women. And I'm just since I'm not a man this time around, I'm not really sure about men, but I think that men have to reevaluate themselves, and I think sometimes when they are trying to be a teenager again, when they're in what they call the midlife crisis, I have a feeling that that's probably their struggle to try to understand what's going on in their spirit.
But that's also kind of living in ego.
I know, but you've got to start somewhere.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You've got to start where you are, because
exactly.
you cannot start someplace else.
Right.
You can make up your mind to go someplace else and stop being stuck, instead of being stuck where you are. That's an important choice. To be willing to change, to be willing to grow, to be willing to hear and learn new truths.
Uh-huh. Well, very interesting. Yeah.
Because what you thought before was the door to a greater wisdom and knowledge, it might be just the key that fits into the door and helps it to open.
So you don't think we need keys? The doors just open on their own?
It depends.
If you think
you have to have a key, you will have to have one. See, that's the whole thing, that our expectations so many times color our reality.
Having any expectations at all kind of helps to set us up for disappointment often.
Exactly. Yeah. So many times we have this is going to be a great, wonderful, this is going to be the best thing that ever happened to me. And it's a dud, and you're just demolished. You're just so frustrated, and you feel the world's coming to an end, because that wonderful thing turned out to be terrible. That happens a lot of times with marriage.
Yeah.
You expect a perpetual honeymoon, and guess what? You have to do the dishes.
There are real bills to pay, real work to do.
Yeah, there you go.
Real sleepless
nights
and sick kids. Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a kid down the hall that, and you're sick as a dog and you have to crawl down there to take care of him. But
yeah.
So the, and the husband doesn't even turn over. You know.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
So the disillusion and the disappointment when you expect something to be a certain way and it's not.
Yeah.
And so when you say you have no expectations, what you're doing is you're opening the door for miracles to happen.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm opening the door for miracles to happen, and many have, so including the gift of time with you today. So thank you very much for allowing this discussion.
Oh,
you
are
writing your
absolutely
book.
Welcome. I was so happy. Just so happy to talk with you, and I appreciate your questions. Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
So what we do at the end of the program is we take a deep breath, close your eyes, and tense your body, tense until you're trembling, and when you feel that trembling and tense, just collapse like a rag doll. And take a nice deep breath and just imagine that you're sort of floating under your nose, and on that breath you can just float like you're floating on a magic carpet. And just float through deep inside through the layers of consciousness to the point where you are feeling totally safe, totally protected. Everything that you need is available for you there. Let yourself be fed. Just soak it up. Feel the peace, feel the energy, feel the joy, feel the excitement of being in touch with the real you. Blow away everything that frightens you, everything that may you feel like might prevent you from doing what you want to do. Blow away all the obstacles, all the anger, all the pain, all the resentment. Just blow it away. And just feel the love. Just feel your whole being filling with love, filling all those empty spaces that used to be filled with doubts and questions and fears and all the ifs and the nuts and the can't do's and shouldn't. Let them all go. Just be love. And now just stretch a little bit, take a deep breath, wiggle your fingers and toes, open your eyes, and come back to what we call normal consciousness, which I wonder. But anyway, thank you for being with me in Love and Light. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.